This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
Government to the rescue.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The British mortgage lender Northern Rock was one of the biggest casualties of the credit crunch. Since last summer, the UK government has been propping up the bank with about $50 billion worth of public money. For a while, it looked as though there would be some kind of rescue from the private sector. I'm afraid not. And now the government is taking a drastic step to keep Northern Rock in business. From London, Stephen Beard reports on the move toward nationalization.
The government has abandoned the effort to find a private sector rescuer for Northern Rock. The two deals on the table were deemed inadequate. Taking the bank into state ownership is politically risky. Ever since the 70s, many British voters have associated nationalisation with failure and incompetence. There could be a lot of lawsuits too. Nationalising the Rock would likely mean that shareholders get next to nothing for their shares. Robin Ashby speaks for some of those investors.
As far as the shareholders are concerned, they're having their company stolen off them by the government, and the government will have to compensate them. That has to be fair compensation. So there will be almost certainly be court cases going on for years, right up to the next general election.
The biggest threat is to the public purse. The British government is now running a bank with $200 billion worth of mortgages on its books. If the UK housing market follows the US example, British taxpayers could foot the bill for billions. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Across Europe this morning, the major stock markets have edged higher. Many of the Asian markets were down overnight. Banking and insurance stocks led the way lower. Of course, no trading in the U.S. today as we observe President's Day. Looks like we've got a flag of surrender in that war between Blu-ray and HD DVD. The Wall Street Journal reports Toshiba, which created HD DVD, is expected to pull out. That would leave Sony's Blu-ray as the de facto standard for high-def DVD players. Here's some news sure to put some pressure on the shark fishing industry. New research has found that sharks are not just endangered, they are vulnerable to extinction. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
The report is from researchers at UC San Diego. It says most large shark species have declined by more than half. Other reports have put that number as high as 90%. In the U.S., the National Marine Fisheries Service has banned most commercial shark fishing until at least August. But many other countries allow it, and recreational shark fishing is still legal in the U.S. and elsewhere. Margaret Bowman is with the Pew Charitable Trusts, the group that funded the research.
The recreational fisheries as well as commercial fisheries for sharks can continue. They just have to have careful limits on them.
Sharks grow slowly, so it takes longer for them to recover from overfishing. The increased popularity of shark fins has upped the predator's value, too. Some fishermen cut off the fins and throw the live shark back to die, even though the practice is banned in the U.S. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Today's holiday is set aside to commemorate former presidents Washington and Lincoln. What would the celebration be without a little shopping? President's Day has become a major retail event, from cars to clothes. There'll be no shortage of bargains. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports on one store catering to the fashion conscious.
The brand new H&M at the Willow Grove Mall outside Philadelphia doesn't open till noon, but 26-year-old Patrice Boxley showed up 2 hours early. She joined a throng of shoppers waiting to pounce.
It's inexpensive, but you can get some really fresh, funky stuff.
If it doesn't last, it's okay. It was only $6.
H&M is short for Hennes and Mauritz. The Swedish company launched its first U.S. store in New York City 7 years ago. Since then, it's opened 135 stores throughout the country with similar fanfare.
3, 2, 1.
H&M and other so-called fast fashion chains are transforming the clothing industry. At most high fashion houses, it can take 6 months for a new design to reach the store rack. H&M can deliver a cheap knockoff in as little as 3 weeks. New styles arrive every day, in big cities sometimes 2 or 3 times a day. Sarah Denethorne is a self-described chronic shopper. She says the constant churn feeds her habit.
If you see it, you have to get it, because it may not be there next time you go back.
The frenzy is spreading fast. H&M is expanding into the Middle East and China. This shopper browses one of two new stores in Shanghai.
I'm looking for a t-shirt to match my skirt today.
She says she owns 100 pairs of shoes and shops about once a week.
Now, if you're talking about the whole world doing that, that will have big ripple effects throughout the economy and the ecology.
That's Juliette Shore. She teaches sociology at Boston College and wrote the book Born to Buy. She says, for one thing, as clothing has gotten cheaper, we're buying more of it, almost twice as much in this country as we did 15 years ago. Shore says each blouse and boxer short takes a toll on the earth, from the pesticides used to grow cotton to the carbon released transporting it. And there's a subtler toll.
Every individual has to do a lot more work to stay current. It's like a treadmill where we just sped up, but we're all just staying in place.
Back at the mall in suburban Pennsylvania, Patrice Boxley says she's thought about stepping off that treadmill.
I just watched a special last week about the whole global warming thing. And like I said, I was going to go on a financial fast, but I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
In Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.